The DigitalLifestyle.com presents The Media Centre Show, Show 130, Thursday, 8th of November, 2007. Welcome to the Media Centre Show with tech.co.uk, and this week on the show is Glenn Moore talking about his new application Squirrel Stash. This is an application for securely protecting pictures and media and other content in an encrypted stash, all from the 10-foot Media Centre user interface. It's an interesting application with some interesting uses as well. So we're talking to Glenn about why he developed the application and what it can be used for. I also have email, news items, and a competition to win a copy of Squirrel Stash. Well, welcome to the show. It's great to have you along. I do appreciate you listening to the show. It's great to have you listening. I really do appreciate you taking the time out of a busy day to listen to the show. And don't forget, as the show is for you, it would be great to get any feedback, any comments, any suggestions about the show. I've been doing it this format for some time now, so if you have any suggestions or thoughts, let me know, ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. And I also wanted to invite all listeners to the Media Centre Show group on Facebook. And since everybody's getting to the Facebook act these days, and I set up a Media Centre Show group on there, so have a look at that, and there's a link for that in the show notes. And I wonder if we'll see a 10-foot interface to catch up with people on Facebook. You never know. Right, we're going to start with email. And first, to an email from Mark. It says, "Hi Ian, hope you're well. I just purchased an Xbox 360 HD DVD drive and found that it includes a universal media remote in the box. I'd like to replace my current Media Center remote with this new one that came with the 360 add-on. However, I have both my PC and 360 in the living room, and pressing the green button on the 360 Universal remote seems to switch on my 360, but not my PC. Is there a way that I can use the Universal Media remote to control my PC and not the Xbox 360? I realise that there's an option on the 360 to change the remote settings, but I would be interested in using the remote to control Media Center PC and not to interfere with the Xbox 360. If you know how to do this, please let me know. It would be very much appreciated. Many thanks, Mark." Thanks for the email, Mark. I don't actually have an Xbox 360 remote like the one you've got, so I've not tried this myself, but I have in the back of my mind that you can use it to control both. I know you can do it the other way around, and Media Center remote will control an Xbox 360, but it'd be interesting to hear if you can do it the other way. On the question of remotes, any of the listeners that are using Xbox 360 as an extender, do you use your Media Center remote? Do you use the remote that came with the Xbox 360, or do you use the Xbox 360 controller? I started off using my Media Center remote, but I found it just maybe where the couch was positioned and everything else, it didn't pick up a good signal, so I ended up using the controller. So I'd just be interested to hear anybody else's thoughts on that. Now to an email on the issue of refresh rates. And we've talked about that on the show previously. This is on the 50Hz on the Xbox 360 issue. And this is from Simon. It says, "Hi, unfortunately I found your thread and the thread on the green button on refresh rates after I bought an Xbox 360 and a new HD TV. I have to say I'm really disappointed as the still scenes look amazing, but the motion judder just kills it for me. I've reverted back to a 576i over component and still get a good TV picture, but Media Center is way too blurry over this low res. Many thanks, Simon." Thanks for the email, Simon. I'm going to keep up on this issue. We've got, like I said in the email, we've got a thread on this on the forums, and I'm trying to talk to some people at Microsoft about it. The consensus seems to be if you're using VGA on LCD, then you're certainly going to get 60Hz, because that's what most of the LCDs want to default to. Over component, I'm not sure. So We're going to try and find out some more information. I'll keep updating you on the show. And finally, an email from Alex. It says, first off, great show. Second, I see that you have a Samsung Q1, and I'm currently looking to purchase said device, but I'd like to ask some questions. 1. Are you able to remote desktop to your Media Center PC to use a Q1 as a bespoke touchscreen remote? If not, do you think it's possible to control Windows Media Center using Q1? 2. Is the origami experience faster than using Windows Media Center when streaming? And 3. Not about the Q1. Is markup language hard to learn as I've only ever dabbled with VB? Thanks and keep up the good work on the show, Alex. Thanks for the email, Alex. Okay, so I'll answer your questions. First, you can use remote desktop on the Q1 to log into your Vista Media Center PC. But first off, you have to have the Ultimate Edition of Windows Vista, as Home Premium doesn't have the remote desktop component built into it. And secondly, when you do log in from the Q1, it locks the Media Center PC, so you get the UI on the Q1, but the main Media Center PC is locked while you're using the Q1, so it's not doing exactly what you want it to do. But what you could use is something like Nevius's companion software, which is in beta in the moment, and I've written a review on that. This enables you to control Windows Media Center from a UMPC like the Q1 or from any PC, and you can queue up music, you can turn on playlists, you can queue up music, you can select TV programs to play, you can browse things, and there's a lot of metadata that goes backwards and forwards as well. It's a really nice program, and it's, like I said, it's in beta at the moment. There's actually a free beta, so I'll link for that in the show notes. So have a look at that, because that's maybe what you want it to do. Also, there's been some other not PC-based remote control applications for Media Center that may work as well. So you can have those kind of connectivity. A second question you said about the origami experience. I found it to be pretty good on the Q1, although Media Center works just as well. And as for streaming, I didn't actually get any. I got audio streaming working with the origami experience, but to stream recorded TV, I use Media Center and it worked fine. So as a music player or a video player for around the home using your wireless network, the Q1 is excellent for that. And I've got the Q1, not the Q1 Ultra, but I think the Q1 Ultra is just the updated version of it. And your third point about markup language. Markup language for Media Center applications, Media Center markup language, is not easy to pick up, and it has a bit of a steep learning curve, but it's very powerful once you get into it. So I would recommend that you have a look at the software development kit for Windows Media Center, which there's a link in the show notes, and also check out the MediaCenterSandbox.com forums, because there's some great information on there. There's been lots of developers on the show in the past, and I think we're going to do a beginner developer show, just how to get started with Media Center development in the coming months as well, so keep listening out for that one. So thanks for the email, and thanks to all for all the email. The email address for the show is ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. I do like getting your email, so please keep those coming in. And now to a couple of news items. As you know, the show is sponsored by tech.co.uk, and I've been writing a blog enlightening their readers with the benefits of Windows Media Center, which you guys already know. And last week I wrote a post about developers of Media Center and how they're expanding the potential for Media Center, and it got some great feedback from people who really didn't realise there was the potential was there. So have a look at the blog post that I did on why I think that enthusiast developers are a key to success of Media Center. And I also want to encourage any developers that are writing Media Center applications, if you've got something you're working on, you want to talk about it on the show to expose other listeners to your application, then contact me at thedigitallifestyle.com. Now, some good news for UK listeners waiting for Media Center extenders. According to a couple of blog posts last week, link in the show notes, there are two models coming out in the UK from Linksys. One will be priced £199 and one at £229. And these are going to be available from December 3rd. Now, I've not seen official confirmation or any press releases of that, but it's from a couple of sources, and I spoke to someone that's actually seen one of the boxes in the UK, so hopefully we'll get an official announcement soon. The DMA 2100 is £199, and the DMA 2200, which is the one with the built-in DVD player, is £229. So if those are street prices, I don't think they're too bad, really. £199 is the same price as the Xbox 360 Arcade, so you get the same function as that, but of course it's quieter and it's a dedicated unit. So thanks to Reader Gordon Lindsay for the tip-off of that, who sent me a link via the blog. Some of the Media Centre news, Chris Lanier reported that Acoro launched an entry-level cable card system at $1,750, which looks a fairly decent price for a cable card system. More links, more detail on the links in the show notes for that. Also, Chris says that the extenders may get a price break in the US and down to $243, which is definitely a good price, and I know that Chris has been one of the people saying that the extended prices should be lower, so that it's good to see that they're going in the right direction. Also, last week we've been in a lot of news on the Windows Home Server front. First off, Microsoft announced Windows Home Server general availability, and there's a press release and a link for that in the show notes. They've also announced a lot of hardware software partners. On the hardware front, Tranquil launched an additional item in their range of home server PCs, and that I have one of the T7 Tranquil home server Windows Home Server PC in for review, which I broadcasted live via ustream.tv, and I'll have a video review of that out in a couple of weeks. The Ustream was interesting. I broadcasted live and I got some questions in. And I think there was a handful of people in there, and it was good to get questions in. So normally I do the video reviews and it's kind of a one-way thing, but it was great to get that two-way communication. And in fact, as you listen to this on Thursday, as this comes out on the Thursday, on Monday I'm going to be looking at a Windows Media Center PC and doing a video review on that. That should be a bit more interactive, so check out that's on Monday, probably 8 p.m. UK time, 12 p.m. PST. Keep an eye on the blog for that. Back to Windows Home Server. On the software front, Embedded Automation, who guest on the show a couple of weeks ago, have launched an M-Control add-in for Windows Home Server. But there's a whole raft of add-ins announced for Home Server, so have a look at the link for that in the show notes. To keep up with the latest news of Media Center, you can subscribe to my blog. Like the link for that in the show notes. And also, don't forget the Facebook group, where we're doing a bit of interactive stuff on there. And I'm going to try and get some more stuff on there and see how the group goes. So time for a message now from show sponsors One Voice. And I'll be back with Glenn talking about Squirrel Stash.
Introducing Media Center Communicator, the perfect complement for Windows Media Center. Imagine walking into your home and simply speaking to play music, watch TV, read and send email, call to order pizza, and more. Now with Media Center Communicator, you have full control of your digital home using only your voice. And best of all, there is no voice training required. And built on One Voice's Media Center Communicator, MCEach Speech Tools is a powerful speech recognition toolkit allowing developers of Media Center compatible applications to easily incorporate speech recognition commands as features. One Voice offers licenses for MCE Speech Tools along with its Media Center Communicator to the rapidly growing community of Media Center developers. Just say it to play it. To learn more, go to www.onev.com.
Glenn Moore, welcome to the Media Center Show.
Thank you very much for having me.
And we're going to be talking about an interesting product that you've got called Squirrel Stash, and you're from Vaxa. And I thought, before we dive into Squirrel Stash and what it does, let's get a background on you and your company and how you sort of got into development.
Yep, Vaxa's an ISV. We typically develop enterprise-level systems for a number of companies here in Australia, and they're typically ASP.NET or WinForms applications, and we've been doing that for a number of years. I joined them a couple of years ago, and before that, prior to that, I was doing a lot of Java work, and I've since got into .NET in a big way and enjoyed that. Yep.
So it's a corporate stuff that you would normally do. So, you know, how come you ended up looking at the media center space?
Well, I'm one of those unfortunate souls that takes a holiday over Christmas and sits out the backyard for a couple of days, and then, you know, works out something else to code over the holidays as a hobby project. And I tend to do that every year. And this year I started experimenting with Vista and Vista Media Center, and had a look at the Media Center markup language and thought that it was a pretty clean way of developing Media Center applications. So it started out just as a hobby project, playing with Media Center markup, and also playing with BitLocker. And I came up with the idea of joining the two together, and thought that might be a viable product idea, and it's turned into one. So that's where it started.
Well, that's interesting to hear that, because see, a lot of people seem to get into Media Center development through tinkering around with it. And so when you said, are you a Media Center user, and is this something you thought would be something that you would use?
I've been playing with Media Center and have been messing around with my own home theater setup and trying to get that going, and wasn't very pleased with the current setups you can get with hardware and Media Center, the older XP Media Center, and Vista Media Center seemed to be a much bigger leap forward, and I've really got into that and thought there's some real potential with that. And so I'm now starting to build up a decent Media Center at home, and the product ideas that come up every year, this was just the latest one and seemed to fit with what I was playing with.
I mean, it's a great idea. So I'll just go into the background of the application then. So what is Squirrel Stash?
Well, there's two parts to it. It ends up, we've got a Media Center add-in and a separate WinForms application. And underlying both of those, we've incorporated an encrypted virtual hard drive set of drivers. And it basically allows you to create an encrypted hard drive that we call a stash, place whatever media files you want into that hard drive using standard Explorer-style drag-and-drop and copy-paste. And then it makes that reasonably easily accessible in Media Center with a password, on-screen keyboard password. And you can play whatever media you want, and it's hidden from whoever you want to hide it from.
Well, I mean so there's a few things I want to touch on there then. So the basic application is, you've got it's an encrypted hard drive. So is that using sort of the virtual server type and virtual PC type technology?
It's using a third party virtual hard drive set of drivers. So it creates a disk file, which is basically an encrypted virtual hard drive. So you can mount that hard drive as a normal hard disk. And that's basically what Squirrel Stash does. It manages that hard drive, mounts it for you automatically, makes all of the files and media files accessible in Media Center when it's mounted, and dismounts when you disconnect or shut down Media Center.
So there's kind of two elements to the program. There's the Windows user interface, which you use for managing the program, and then there's being able to access that from Media Center. So just talk about the Windows side of it first. So what kind of things do you do from there?
Well, that came about basically because doing file browsing with a remote control in Media Center was a little too difficult, and I ended up having to separate that into a separate Windows application. And it turns out that works reasonably well, because you can now use the Squirrel Stash Manager, which is the separate WinForms application, to mount the same. You actually use it to create your initial stash files and mount them. And then once they're mounted, you can use standard Windows Explorer to copy files into the stash. It also provides facilities like backup, and you can have a secondary key on your backups and that sort of thing.
Yeah. And then the Media Center element, I noticed that, because I had to play around with this, and the first thing I noticed when you log in for the Media Center is you get a really nice on-screen keyboard, which is... something that's a lot better than I think I've previously seen with other applications that try and come up with on-screen keyboards. So why do you need to log in via Media Center? Because if this drive is mounted as an image, can you not just get at it through, on the PC? Or is that the whole point of the application, is that the image is only mounted when you log in through Media Center?
That's right. The whole point is that the files aren't accessible unless you're working through either the School Stash Manager or the Media Center add-in. So once you put your password in, it'll mount it up. And it's also trying to keep all of the temporary files and thumbnails and so on within that encrypted stash, so there's no external visibility of those files.
Mm. And then once you're inside the stash from Media Center, what can you do with it from there?
It supports most types of media, and it'll automatically generate thumbnail images for if you've got photographs in there or videos. It'll generate thumbnails from those media files. It then lets you navigate through and organise them into folders using standard Windows Explorer folder creation. And you can navigate down, find the file you want to play. You can then view that file and it'll show you a series or a sequence of thumbnails if it's a video. And you can play it as a standard video file or photo slideshow as Media Center normally would.
Right, and of course then, as you mentioned earlier on, it's using Media Center Markup Language, so we've not got sort of a clunky HTML web type application. This is a proper Media Center application, and it's got the smooth transitions and everything else.
That's right, and apart from the learning curve of learning that language, which is yet another one that we have to learn, it definitely produces a really slick interface that's relatively easy to do in the end once you've got the hang of it, and of course you get the full Xbox or Media Center Extender functionality as well out of the box.
Right, so that was going to be the next question then. So you know, I was thinking I've stored some files and video files in the stash, and then I come to my Xbox 360 and I want to play those. How will that work?
It does work. You can only have it running on one or the other, so you can't mount the same stash on your home theater PC as well as the Xbox Extender. You get a standard file access violation. But it works exactly the same way as it does if you were on the local home theater PC. The only difference is it will be streaming those video files across your internet unencrypted. So there's a catch there, but it works really well.
Right, yeah, but of course this is normally on your local network, so I guess, you know, if you're at home and you're watching something on your extender, the fact that it's streaming unencrypted over the network isn't probably the biggest issue, because you're not going to have packet sniffers.
Yep.
on your home network, hopefully.
That's right, yes.
And if you have got that issue, then you've got bigger problems than just working with encrypted files.
Exactly, yeah.
That's one nice thing, because of course, with the extenders, you know, and the hardware extenders coming out in the future, and we've got the Xbox 360, it's important, I think, that every sort of application now has got the ability to work on a 360. But so it's nice to hear that you've got that working on there as well.
It is, and the new extender support that Microsoft's bringing out is pretty exciting, with, you know, the set-top box style and the embedded TV style of extenders. That's really going to make it useful.
Yeah, I can't wait to see the embedded TV. One of the other things I'd like to see is a HD DVD unit with the Media Center technology built in. So it's kind of one box that does everything you possibly need.
Yep. It'd be perfect at home.
Yeah, it would, wouldn't it? I mean, you just put it in your rack and you stick your noisy Media Center PC out of the way.
That's right. Yep.
But I must admit, I do like my Xbox 360 as an extend anyway. But go back to the program then. So I said that one thing I wanted to comment on was the user interface. And we mentioned that it's in Media Center Markup Language, but it has got a very unique look, but a very polished look. But one of the things we've talked about with developers on previous shows, and with Charlie Owen from Microsoft, is the fact that, you know, there's this sort of debate between using Microsoft's user interface design and coming up with your own, and you've very much come up with your own and a unique style, but it works really well. So what made you sort of go down that route as opposed to just, you know, going with the blue and white as a lot of developers
do? Well, it's the basis of the look and feel is actually one of Media Center's SDK examples. So there's the guys that built the SDK have put together a really exceptional example called Zed. And Squirrel Stash used that as the basis for most of the initial coding. So the look and feel there is pretty close to what Zed had. A lot of the code underneath is different. In fact, most of the code underneath is rewritten. But the on-screen keyboard as well was part of the Zed application. And it's been tweaked a bit to work a bit cleaner. The differences in look and feel would be that the color scheme. We actually paid to get the squirrel logo done, and I think that's come out fantastically well. And we took that as the basis for the color scheme, so we've changed it around to match the logo as it came out. There's a disadvantage to doing that, and that is, you know, when you move your mouse and you get the on-screen mouse controls, they actually have a blue faded background on them, so they clash a little bit when you see it in Squirrel Stash. But other than that, I think the color scheme and the look and feel works pretty well.
Yeah, it does look really nice, and it is very much like a brand, isn't it? You've got your own style there. So if you were to do further Media Center applications, you could very much fit them in with that branding, and it would look really good.
Definitely, yeah. Yep.
I guess this is an application that really just wouldn't have been possible for XP under the sort of the old HTML protocols and setups.
No, it wasn't, and that's basically why it is only a Vista Media Center application. I did look at the effort that would be involved in making an XP version of it, and it's a lot more difficult. The Media Center markup language makes it much simpler.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's one of the reasons I think why it's really worth upgrading to Vista for the Media Center, is you get the support of applications like yours that are so much better than the sort of the XP applications, because as developers you've got much more to work with.
That's right. Yep. Yep. And it's a big learning curve getting the understanding Media Center markup, and I was also learning the Windows installer XML toolkits to build installers and so on. But once you've got the hang of them, and that might take a little while, it's really a clean environment, and really it does drive you to make a pretty slick interface.
Mm. And the other thing that is I noticed is there's two versions of the application. So what's the difference between the two versions?
We have a free version, which is limited in stash size. You can create a 1 gigabyte stash. It's probably room for one or two movies or a bunch of photos. And there's the pay for version. The full version is about $35, which is about $30 Australian. I'm not sure exactly what that equates to in pounds. And that's a fully functional version with no limits on the stash size.
Right. So the difference is, so if you wanted to try it out, of course you can try it, get the free version, make sure it works for you, use it, and then if you decide you want to put more storage in, you can just go for the $35 route and have the full version.
That's right. Yep. So if you fill up your stash really quickly, you'll need to buy the copy, and you can make it as big as you like.
So what kind of things would you think people would use the stashes for?
Well, the obvious one is for higher rating adult content. That's the primary use that I've seen people using it for. We've had some interesting uses for some kids have said we like it because we can hide stuff from our siblings. So teenagers are putting in their own movies and pictures and photos and so on, and hiding them away from the siblings.
That's a great idea with the siblings of using it to have their own protected content. Because I mean, that's one of the things that our brothers and sisters and they want to keep their own private place. And especially if you're sharing a PC, then I think that's a great way of doing it.
Yes, yeah, and that's one of the key things. With Media Center, you tend to have a shared PC in a lounge room, or a shared Media Center extender in a lounge room, and that's where you tend to want to hide some stuff or keep some stuff private from other siblings or family members, just to keep them safe and so on.
My other question on that then was, if you've got two people using the same Media Center PC, can they have two separate stashes, or is there used to one stash per PC?
They can have two separate stashes. You can have as many stash files as you want. You can only mount one at a time.
Yeah.
So current limitation of the application. It is a plan that we're going to support multiple stashes from two viewpoints. We want to be able to support multiple stashes at the same time, so one running on the Media Center PC and someone else running a different stash on an extender, for example. But we also want to be able to support multiple stashes as like a virtual store, so that if you run out of space in one stash, you can add another stash file and combine the two to get a single view of all of your media content.
Right, I see what you mean. So you can split it up, but then have it visible as one by running the two stashes at the same time.
That's right, yeah, because resizing a stash at the moment is a fairly big job. You need to create another stash that's bigger, copy everything from the original across. So you need, you know, twice the disk space to do that. So providing a virtual view of multiple stashes in the same media center environment would let you resize without having to do that physical disk size resizing.
Mm. I mean, but the idea of running the multiple stash is good as well, because even not necessarily simultaneously, but look, you know, your example of having siblings, you know, each one can have their own private stash and then just mount that as they're using the machine, and then, you know, take it offline again when they go away from it, so that you've definitely got that separation of where the content is.
That's right, yeah. Currently, you need to select the stash that you want to view in Media Center using the School Stash Manager, but I'd like to move that functionality into the Media Center add-in, so you can select a stash from within there as well.
Yeah, that would be good, so that you could just flick between them depending on who's sat at the machine.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, and like you said, with the extenders as well, to be able to combine that, so that if you've got multiple extenders, to have multiple stashes on, so you know, kids are in different rooms and they can mount their stashes and the parents can mount their stash at the same time, then that seems a good way forward.
Yes, yeah.
And we should say about the stashes as well. So we've talked about that it's sort of encrypted, but you know, what kind of encryption is used on it?
It's using AES encryption, and it's certified by NIST, and that's via the third party vendor that we're using for those drivers. It's probably as safe as encryption as you can get nowadays. You could write something to brute force crack it, but that's not a problem in the environment we're working with.
No, I mean you just want it really for protecting your home content like that. Then I guess you know you're not looking at brute force. You just want it secure from other people. So yeah, I can see this is a good idea. I mean, I guess you could also put things on there like. Can you store like other things as well? You mentioned pictures and videos, and can you put anything in the stash?
You can put anything in. It'll only view media files, but you could put any files in there that you wanted to. It won't generate thumbnail images for things that it doesn't recognise, and it won't play those things that it doesn't recognise.
Yeah. But so you could also, I mean, I know there are other ways through Windows of protecting files and folders and things like that. But if you're getting familiar with the stash interface, then you could just use that to throw something in there that you perhaps didn't want, you know, bank details or something you didn't want everybody in the house seeing.
Yes, you can. Using Squirrel Stash Manager, once you've mounted a stash, it'll open a Windows Explorer, and you can use that to put whatever you like in there.
Mm. So it's not just for this. You don't have to use it just for the media content. You can, but obviously that's the primary focus with the user interface.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I can imagine that, you know, like we said, there are other ways of securing folders and things within Windows, but none are designed for Media Center. And so when you come to use it in Media Center, you know, you'd have a problem. You'd generally have to drop out, go back and mount your drives or whatever you want to do, and then go back to Media Center. So this solution is great for Media Center users.
That's right. It's also the other solutions that do provide that sort of functionality, like BitLocker and a few others. They seem to be centered around who's logged in, and the person or the user logged in is the one that can get access to the drives. So you need to log out and log back in again for a different user to access their drives. Whereas this is more designed for a shared single login machine, like a home theater PC that you've set up in a lounge room and you leave it logged in, and users can switch between their stashes and their private stores using the interface.
Yeah, that's a good point, though, because when you're using, say, a PC at the office or your laptop or your MPC, they're generally very personal and you log in as you. But a home theatre PC tends to be more of a generic machine for that multiple people use. So that exact scenario, you don't want to have to keep logging off and logging back on again, especially if you're dealing with a home theatre PC without keyboard or mouse or whatever. You just leave it in MIDI center mode.
Yeah, exactly. Who wants to log in to watch TV? It gets in the way, so you leave it logged in, but you still want to be able to get this sort of functionality and have a shared private area. So we've done it with a separate password and encrypted disks.
I mean, I think it's one of those excellent examples of a media center application that doesn't try and do all things, but it answers a specific need, and it's also it doesn't look like a sort of a kludge or workaround or anything like that. It's specifically targeted for Media Center, does a great job of what it does, and it's a nice small add-in that adds to the overall benefit of Media Center.
Yeah, that was the focus. We had a small set of requirements, and I think it came together fairly well in the end. Yeah.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And if anybody wants to download the free version or have a look at the information on the website, what's the address?
The address is www.squirrelstash.com, and you'll find there's a download there currently for 32-bit Windows and to 32-bit Vista. Mm-hmm. And we're working currently on the 64-bit version. We're just waiting on some signed drivers for that. So as soon as we've got that ready, there'll be a 64-bit version there as well.
Great, and it's all, and the free version is available directly on the website.
Yes. Yep.
Well, it's a great application, and I think, like I said, a great to see these sort of small niche applications filling the gaps in for Media Center users. So many thanks for your time to come on the show today, and we'll talk again when you've got other updates coming out.
Thanks very much, Ian.
Thanks to Glenn. To win a copy of Squirrel Stash Unlimited, just send me an email in about what kind of things you'd use in your stash. No, I'm only joking. I don't really want to know what kind of things you put in your stash. Send me an email in just telling me whether you use your media center connected directly to your TV or via an extender. I'd just be interested to get a feel for the amount of people that are going direct and the amount of people using the extenders. So email Ian at thedigitallifestyle.com. Just let me know where you are and how you've got your TV connected to Media Center. And I'll pick one out at random and you can win a copy of Squirrel Stash Unlimited. And the email address for the show for general stuff is Ian at thedigitallifestyle.com. So I'll see you around on Facebook and on the forums on thedigitallifestyle.com. See you next week. Bye.